And on this Labor Day weekend, if you have any car, truck, van problems and you want to know what the heck is going on before you bring in for service, why don't you give ASC Certified Technician from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel, a call or a text. I'll give you that number for either 651-461-9226. It's CCO's Car Care Show, been around for almost 100 years, I think. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. We were together at the State Fair last week, boy, the weather, we've mentioned it a couple of times, the weather is perfect for this these last few days, these last 3 days at the State Fair. Gorgeous weather. But in the meantime, we are here to help you out, Nick is, for a long time. If you, again, have any questions about your vehicle and you're having problems, you want to, no matter what it is, you don't have to be a gearhead or a motorhead to join in on the conversation. If you're having problems with your car, your truck, your van, we'd love to hear from you. And keep in mind, Nick will be leaving us about 7:45 this morning when Ted Farrell steps in with his wine chat. So sooner we hear from you, the better, rather than later. 651-461-9226. Here's a question we've never had before. Came in via text, Nick. 2014 Mazda CX-5. The speedometer shows a top speed of 160 miles an hour. How is that possible? Texter says. Why do they do that?
That's a good question. I don't know, and I've always kind of wondered the same. You know, the vehicles are limited, depending on the vehicle, somewhere around 100 miles an hour, which we still shouldn't be doing, obviously. But I don't know why they add the extra, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour to make it maybe look faster. I don't know.
Maybe it's just aesthetics, maybe to even out all the numbers. they want it. Who knows why? But you're right. You should not be doing that. Good question, though. This is the time of year that, well, it's probably maybe even past, when you and I have talked over the years about mom and dad or maybe grandparents helping out their granddaughter, grandson, or son or daughter with a vehicle, many times a used vehicle. Before they head off to college or other kinds of school. And we talk about the idea of getting it inspected, and especially at Lloyd's. You guys do that all the time. What exactly goes into that? If somebody's, whether they're just buying a used car, but they want to know what they're getting there with a little look over. What do you guys do? What does your crew do when somebody brings in that vehicle?
Well, like you said, there's a lot of folks headed away and getting help on that first vehicle before they do. And, you know, what we used to call a $500 junker is probably 10 times that now. So you need to be careful. They're very expensive. You don't know the history of the vehicle. You don't always get as sold either. So it's a very good idea to have it brought in, have your shop, our shop, whoever, have somebody trained, kind of give it a once over. And we're looking for maintenance, or we're looking for maybe a reason why they're selling the vehicle that might be costly. We're looking for the items that maybe nobody knows. You get underneath the vehicle, which doesn't happen very often. You find a leak or something that's worn or torn, and we just want to prevent an unfortunate situation where somebody's stranded or stuck. You got a loved one halfway across the country, and you're the person trying to communicate and work through it, and it can be frustrating. So, you know, we want to make sure the tires, the brakes, the spark plugs, the fluids, you know, everything under the hood that we can visually inspect and touch, and everything under the body that we can touch and look at, is in good working order. And maybe we make a list of things that are critical now, maybe things that we can reassess when they come back for the holidays, or things that we're just going to kind of put on the back burner for now. So it's a good idea to know what you're buying, and good idea to have a plan. You just don't have that, you know, young person stuck who knows where and not know how to handle the situation.
And it doesn't mean necessarily the seller is trying to put one over on you. The seller may not know any of these issues. You may find a small oil leak, let's say, and the seller didn't know that. You know, so it's not necessarily somebody trying to, you know,
yeah,
put one
absolutely
over on you.
You know, we don't. It's funny, like when our cars are new, we're, you know, like with anything that's new, we care a lot. We do all the little things. We wash it all the time. We do all those things. But as it ages and gets older, maybe we don't give it as much care or maintenance that we used to. So you're right on. They may not even know something's wrong or something's worn until someone gets a closer look at it.
651-461-9226. We'd love to hear from you if you have any kind of a car care question for Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive. Here's one that came in a bit ago. Texter says, I have a check engine light on. I believe this disabled my cruise control. Is there a way around this?
Fixing the check engine light.
Yeah.
It's part of the safety system, too. We don't know the reason for the check engine light. Yes, it can be as simple as a gas cap.
Yeah.
We know that, but it can be something more integral internal of the engine, and we don't want to have an issue where the cruise control is trying to control that speed, yet the engine isn't working properly. So by design, the check engine light is on, the cruise control is not going to work, the remote start's not going to work. So maybe it's frustrating, but it's not all for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what let's do. I was going to take a break, but let's grab a phone call before we do that. Kevin calling in from Waseca this morning. Kevin, what is your question for Nick?
Yes, a very good morning to you. Question on spark plugs. Is there a rule of thumb as far as when to replace them? Is it a matter of time? Is it a matter of mileage? The type of driving you do? Is there any rule of thumb?
Well, I would say it's all of the above. You're going to start with the owner's manual and look at the recommended interval. Depending on the material the spark plug is made of, it could be 30, 60, 100,000 miles. That being said, if it's a very low-mile vehicle, it's 10 years old, the spark plugs have not been replaced, we probably want to remove them at a minimum to make sure they don't get stuck or any corrosion, any reason to cause an additional problem. So look at the mileage interval, figure out what the mileage recommendation is. If you're getting close to that and it's got more years than miles, probably get it looked at sooner. If you're doing a lot of driving and the car is younger in age and has lots of miles, those spark plugs might be actually worn out to the point where they need replacement. So kind of a combination of the two. I think you'll find most vehicles are now using like a platinum plug or a precious material plug that's going to get you 100,000 miles. But do check your owner's manual to see what the recommendation is.
All right, very good. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll grab a call from Tim in Andover and look at some text messages as well. 651-461-9226. It's the Car Care Show here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you on this Labor Day weekend back in the midst of our Car Care Show. We're around every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, welcoming any kind of a car care question you may have for Nick Stauffer, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, again, for those folks that might need some assistance for their vehicle, how do they find you guys at Lloyd's?
Absolutely. If you have a question and need a little advice before you take it in, feel free to call 651-228-1316. If you happen to be in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that info just before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. We mentioned callers. Let's pick up on that. Tim is first up here calling from Andover. Thank you, Tim. What is your question, Tim?
Question is, I got a 2010 Buick, and under the front bumper there's a strip of either rubber or leather, and it's kind of tearing apart. Is that cosmetic, or is that something that should be replaced?
It's likely a piece of weather stripping. And, if it's still secure and not dragging on the ground or getting in the way of the wheels or anything under the hood, I'd probably leave it for the moment. Next time you're in for service, have them with up in the air. Just kind of see if it can be reattached. I doubt it's critical, but without putting my eyes on it, I don't want to advise you the wrong way. So I would
sure.
Assume it's okay for now. When you're in for service, have them get a closer peek to make sure everything's okay.
Good idea. Very good. Thanks, Tim. John is calling in this morning, I believe, from Maple Grove. Hi, John. What's your question?
Hi, good morning. I've got a 07 Suburban with a 5.3-liter V8, and about 6 months ago I had a four-cylinder went out on me, brought it to the dealership, and he said we could either go in try to repair it, or you can get one of these AFM, DFM disablers that you plug in underneath your steering wheel in that communication. So went ahead and did that, plugged it in, cleared the codes, and it's been running perfectly ever since. And I was wondering if you knew any more information on these things. I mean, is it good for the engine or what?
So what's happening there is that you're plugging the that little dangle that you bought that communicates with the computer not to run the fuel management circuit or part of the computer system there. And what that is that, as you know, it shuts off four of the cylinders to kind of help with fuel economy when you're at highway speeds. It does affect the fuel economy some. It's probably not as much as we'd want, but it does help a little bit. What happens, though, is with those lifters and such, or that system being controlled on and off, sometimes there's a failed component there, which will cause a particular cylinder not to operate. We do see it. On an older, higher mileage vehicle, I'm probably not against the idea of, you know, an inexpensive thing to get you by. You know, I think it's okay. If you have a newer vehicle, which we'll see them, you know, even a few years old, we're starting to see some of those problems. It's probably best to have the repair done. You know, a lower mileage engine, I'm not sure, you know, when it was designed and engineered, it was designed to have that built into it. So I'd hate to take something away from the way it was originally designed. That being said, you mentioned it's an old 07 Suburban, so I, you know, it's old enough now, probably have enough miles on it, which is probably not worth a multi-$1,000 repair. So it depends. You know, I'm not against it, but I'm not going to promote it on something that's a newer model vehicle with lower mileage.
Sure. All right. 2016 Honda Accord, texter says, the dealership does not do a flush when they do a coolant drain because there are many small plugs that could pop out. The question is, what are your thoughts on the necessity of a flush?
I'm not sure if there's plugs that will pop out. However, that being said, I do think it's sufficient to do a drain and fill. So it's kind of like the transmission service as they evolved. You know, you find the low point, there's a drain tube, you're going to allow the fluid to run out in its entirety. And then you're going to, you know, put the plug back under the drain plug back in. Then you have to refill it. The difference with the cooling system is you have to get it up to operating temperature to make sure all those air pockets and bubbles have worked their way through. You get an air pocket in there, and sometimes you have issues with the poor heat quality or even the vehicle overheating. So they're probably not doing a flush in the sense that you recall where you tee into the heater hose. That's long past. Now it's more of a drain and fill operation, which does exchange most of the fluid and is probably sufficient, especially on a newer vehicle.
Okay, very good. Let's grab another phone call, Nick. Joe's calling in from Cottage Grove this morning. Joe, good morning. What is your question, please?
Good morning. I have a 19 F-150, and my right turn signal is flashing fast, indicating that there's a bulb that's failed. And when I check the rear turn signal, the top one flashes, but the bottom one doesn't. On the left side, both of them flash. But the one that doesn't flash, the bulb is working. It just doesn't flash. Can you tell me why that would be?
That's a good question. So, you know, there's not likely a flasher that we used to have, the little thing under the dash of the vehicle that made the clicking noise that caused the bulbs to flash. It's probably controlled by the body control module or something that it's controlling. So I suspect either we have a wiring feed problem. The bulb might be working, but maybe the filament might be shorted out so it doesn't see that current flow happening. So the easiest thing to do is replace the bulb. It's a couple dollars. If you're capable of doing that yourself, try that. That might likely fix it. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole that there's some big wiring problem if we don't have to. So put a bulb in it. If that doesn't work, you probably need to bring it in. They're going to kind of check the circuit out to see if there's a short somewhere that's misleading or misfeeding the circuit.
I'm looking at a text, Nick, about, you know, you and I talk about oil changes and when to get the oil changed and checking if you have a dipstick and all that. But this one, some cars, I think I even had one for, will show a percentage of oil left, the oil life. Texter wants to know, what is the recommended oil life percentage when to get that oil changed?
You know, those percentages are a good guideline. You know, I would say It depends, because I feel the way they design, you know, it doesn't see the oil. It's not actually testing the oil. What it does know is the time. It does know your driving habits, highway speed, city speed, stop and go. The, you know, you got to think what, you know, the car's going around with you. The computer has all these inputs, so it has an idea. It's making a recommendation based on that idea. Like we've said for a long time, I feel that a lot of the manufacturers, a lot of those indicators probably go too long. We see too many oil-related problems, especially as cars age. So I would honestly, you know, figure out how many miles you drive in a year. If it's 12,000 miles on a newer vehicle, which is likely synthetic, I'm going to tell you to do it every 5,000 miles, which is every 5 months. So that would be the guide that I would use. You can kind of gauge your, you know, you had your oil change done. You have the same drive cycle. Your life's pretty much the same like all of ours. And you notice that at a certain percentage, it's been 5 months. You kind of use that as your gauge. You know, it's not a perfect science. But the last thing I want is for people to go too long on an oil change, which happens, unfortunately, too often. But I would say 5,000, if that's 5 months or 6 months, just kind of gauge it for yourself and kind of build off of that.
Okay, very good. Let us take a break for that forecast on this Labor Day weekend. We have a few minutes to go on the show. 651-461-9226. From Newstalk 830, this is WCCO. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, have a few minutes to go on the show, and of course, we've got a lot of callers and texters. See how many folks we can help out before we plumb run out of time. Barbara calling in, I believe, from St. Paul this morning. Hi, Barbara. What is your question?
Hi. Good morning, Denny and Nick. We enjoy your show in the morning. I have a question. A friend of mine has a 2016 Ford Fusion, and it makes a loud clunking noise. It's drivable, but it makes a very loud clunking noise in the rear of the car. Her husband said it's the back windshield. In all the years that I have been driving, I have never heard of a windshield or a back window making a clunking noise like that.
You know, Barbara, I would agree with you. I don't think I have either. But if the clunking noise is enough to have several conversations, they should probably have it brought in someplace to have it take a look. You know, my assumption would be something with the suspension in the rear that's worn causing that movement, which is making the noise. So I would tell your friend, next time it's in for service, have him take a look at that to make sure it's not something becoming loose or worn.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, Barbara. Thank you. Phyllis calling in this morning from Mustard Prairie, Wisconsin. Hi, Phyllis. Thanks for waiting. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a 2021 Toyota Highlander Hybrid, and it was doing a thing where the brakes, when you applied them, as it slowed down, the car would lunge forward and then stop. So I took it into the dealer, and they said it was an upgrade necessary on the software. They did that. It stopped doing it for about a month, and now it's starting to do it again. If it's not the software, do you have any idea what this might be?
I still think it's something to do with the hybrid system that's lurching, you know, as it's engaging, disengaging there. It's too firm, you know, it's not a slow process like it should be. So I would probably get back in contact with them, say, hey, this worked for a while, but this is happening again. What else could it be? Like I said, it's something with the way the hybrid system works. You're slowing the vehicle down, the regenerative braking, you know, the motor, it's, you know, charging that battery. So something with that isn't as smooth as it should be. I don't think you're going to get stuck or stranded. It's probably an annoyance for sure. So I would say next time you're in, I would bring that back up and have them take another look.
Let's see here. 2022 Subaru Outback. Texter's wondering why it makes a vibrating or humming noise when the engine is off after being turned off for hours. Is something resetting itself? The sound seems to come from the rear of the engine.
Well, something for hours seems too much. As you know, Denny, sometimes when vehicles, they're hot, especially last week before, you shut them off. The cooling fan, the electric water pumps might circulate to kind of finish cooling that system down or cooling the engine down. But if it's something going for hours, I think that's probably too long. Usually I would say 15, 20 minutes would be acceptable. So I would probably have that looked at. If something's making noise, that could be draining on the battery too, keep in mind. So if it's going on overnight, you might find out you have two problems in the morning where you have this noise and a dead battery. So I would probably not ignore that one.
All right. Let's see. 2005 Honda Pilot, the TPMS indicator came on, but it does not show a tire being low. Is this most likely a sensor in the tire? And if so, can I swap out a sensor without any special tools?
It could be a sensor. What we would do at the shop is actually ping all four wheels and figure out if all four, it kind of gives us a battery status, if it's low or if it's fine, a status if it's reading or not, a pressure rating. So there's a little investigating. And unfortunately, no, there's not an easy way to replace them because this most often the sensor's part of the stem. It's located inside the tire and wheel, so you need the tooling and equipment to remove the tire from the wheel. So you'll have to take it to a shop to have that process done.
I guess this next one, you could check the manual, but and we were talking about spark plugs earlier. This car, Texter says, has 108,000 miles on it. The plugs have never been changed. Should I keep going?
Well, like you said, check the manual, the age. You know, I mean, if it's, you know, 10 years old, I would say yes, they need to be removed because, once again, we worry about them being worn out and creating maybe a misfire, but also need to be worried about them getting stuck in the cylinder head themselves. So there's two things that we're trying to balance here. If your car is 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you're probably fine. You get over 10 years old and those spark plugs are still the same ones, they might be due to be looked at.
Finally, and we get this from time to time, is it wise to get an extended warranty on a new vehicle today?
I think you know the answer to that one, too. Maybe.
If it makes you sleep better at night.
Absolutely. And most often, things aren't always as presented by the salesperson. Read the fine print. I've been doing this forever, it seems like now. And there's some good ones, and there's some bad ones, like everything. So if it gives you peace of mind, yes.
Read the fine print.
Yeah, read the fine print. It's a tough answer.
Yeah, it is. Well, Nick, we'll put the test to you again next week if you're so willing. So, but in the meantime, if folks want some help at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. As you know, by phone, 651-228-1316. And if you're out for a stroll on Grand Avenue, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. And then finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. Let's talk next week, Nick.
Sounds like a plan.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Ted Farrell next with his wine chat here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And on this Labor Day weekend, if you have any car, truck, van problems and you want to know what the heck is going on before you bring it in for service, why don't you give ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel, a call or a text. I'll give you that number for either 651-461-9226. It's CCO's Car Care Show. Been around for almost 100 years, I think. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. We were together at the State Fair last week. Boy, the weather, we've mentioned it a couple of times, the weather is perfect for these last three days at the State Fair. Gorgeous weather. But in the meantime, we are here to help you out. Nick is for a long time. If you, again, have any questions about your vehicle and you're having problems, you want to, no matter what it is, you don't have to be a gearhead or a motorhead to join in on the conversation. If you're having problems with your car, your truck, your van, we'd love to hear from you. And keep in mind, Nick will be leaving us about 7:45 this morning when Ted Farrell steps in with his wine chat. So sooner we hear from you, the better, rather than later. 651-461-9226. Here's a question we've never had before. Came in via text, Nick. 2014 Mazda CX-5. The speedometer shows a top speed of 160 miles an hour. How is that possible, Texter says. Why do they do that?
That's a good question. I don't know, and I've always kind of wondered the same. You know, the vehicles are limited, depending on the vehicle, somewhere around 100 miles an hour, which we still shouldn't be doing, obviously. But I don't know why they add the extra, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour to make it maybe look faster. I don't know.
Maybe it's just aesthetics, maybe to even out all the numbers. they want it. Who knows why? But you're right. You should not be doing that. Good question, though. This is the time of year that, well, it's probably maybe even past, when you and I have talked over the years about mom and dad or maybe grandparents helping out their granddaughter, grandson, or son or daughter with a vehicle, many times a used vehicle, before they head off to college or other kinds of school. And we talk about the idea of getting it inspected. And especially at Lloyd's, you guys do that all the time. What exactly goes into that? If somebody's, whether they're just buying a used car, but they want to know what they're getting there with a little look over. What do you guys do? What does your crew do when somebody brings in that vehicle?
Well, like you said, there's a lot of folks headed away and getting help on that first vehicle before they do. And, you know, what we used to call a $500 junker is probably 10 times that now. So you need to be careful. They're very expensive. You don't know the history of the vehicle. You don't always get as sold either. So it's a very good idea to have it brought in, have your shop, our shop, whoever, have somebody trained, kind of give it a once over. And we're looking for maintenance, or we're looking for maybe a reason why they're selling the vehicle that might be costly. We're looking for the items that maybe nobody knows. You get underneath the vehicle, which doesn't happen very often. You find a leak or something that's worn or torn. And we just want to prevent an unfortunate situation where somebody's stranded or stuck. You got a loved one halfway across the country, and you're the person trying to communicate and work through it. It can be frustrating. So, you know, we want to make sure the tires, the brakes, the spark plugs, the fluids, you know, everything under the hood that we can visually inspect and touch, and everything under the body that we can touch and look at, is in good working order. And maybe we make a list of things that are critical now, maybe things that we can reassess when they come back for the holidays, or things that we just going to kind of put on the back burner for now. So it's a good idea to know what you're buying, and good idea to have a plan. You just don't have that, you know, young person stuck who knows where and not know how to handle the situation.
And it doesn't mean necessarily the seller is trying to put one over on you. The seller may not know any of these issues. You may find a small oil leak, let's say, and the seller didn't know that. You know, so it's not necessarily somebody trying to, you know,
yeah,
put one
absolutely
over on you.
You know, we don't. It's funny, like when our cars are new, we're, you know, like with anything that's new, we care a lot. We do all the little things. We wash it all the time. We do all those things. But as it ages and gets older, maybe we don't give it as much care or maintenance that we used to. So you're right on. They may not even know something's wrong or something's worn until someone gets a closer look at it.
651-461-9226. We'd love to hear from you if you have any kind of a car care question for Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive. Here's one that came in a bit ago. Texter says, I have a check engine light on. I believe this disabled my cruise control. Is there a way around this?
Fixing the check engine light.
Yeah.
It's part of the safety system, too. We don't know the reason for the check engine light. Yes, it can be as simple as a gas cap.
Yeah.
We know that, but it can be something more integral internal of the engine, and we don't want to have an issue where the cruise control is trying to control that speed, yet the engine isn't working properly. So by design, the check engine light is on, the cruise control is not going to work, the remote start's not going to work. So maybe it's frustrating, but it's not all for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, let's do. I was going to take a break, but let's grab a phone call before we do that. Kevin calling in from Waseca this morning. Kevin, what is your question for Nick?
Yes, a very good morning to you. Question on spark plugs. Is there a rule of thumb as far as when to replace them? Is it a matter of time? Is it a matter of mileage? The type of driving you do? Is there any rule of thumb?
Well, I would say it's all of the above. You're going to start with the owner's manual and look at the recommended interval. Depending on the material the spark plug is made of, it could be, you know, 30, 60, 100,000 miles. That being said, if it's a very low-mile vehicle, it's 10 years old, the spark plugs have not been replaced, we probably want to remove them at a minimum to make sure they don't get stuck or any corrosion, any reason to cause an additional problem. So look at the mileage interval, figure out what the mileage recommendation is. If you're getting close to that and it's got more years than miles, probably get it looked at sooner. If you're doing a lot of driving and the car is younger in age and has lots of miles, those spark plugs might be actually worn out to the point where they need replacement. So kind of a combination of the two. I think you'll find most vehicles are now using like a platinum plug or a precious material plug that's going to get you 100,000 miles. But do check your owner's manual to see what the recommendation is.
All right, very good. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll grab a call from Tim in Andover and look at some text messages as well. 651-461-9226. It's the Car Care Show here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you on this Labor Day weekend back in the midst of our Car Care Show. We're around every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, welcoming any kind of a car care question you may have for Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, again, for those folks that might need some assistance for their vehicle, how do they find you guys at Lloyd's?
Absolutely. If you have a question and need a little advice before you take it in, feel free to call 651-228-1316. If you happen to be in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that info just before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. We mentioned callers. Let's pick up on that. Tim is first up here calling from Andover. Thank you, Tim. What is your question, Tim?
Question is, I got a 2010 Buick, and under the front bumper there's a strip of either rubber or leather, and it's kind of tearing apart. Is that cosmetic, or is that something that should be replaced?
It's likely a piece of weather stripping. And, you know, if it's still secure and not, not dragging on the ground or getting in the way of the wheels or anything under the hood, I'd probably leave it for the moment. Next time you're in for service, have them with up in the air. Just kind of see if it can be reattached. I doubt it's critical, but without putting my eyes on it, I don't want to advise you the wrong way. So I would assume it's okay for now. When you're in for service, have them get a closer peek and make sure everything's okay.
Good idea. Very good. Thanks, Tim. John is calling in this morning, I believe, from Maple Grove. Hi, John. What's your question?
Hi, good morning. I've got a 07 Suburban with a 5.3-liter V8, and about 6 months ago I had a fourth cylinder went out on me, brought it to the dealership, and he said we could either go in, try to repair it, or you can get one of these AFM, DFM disablers that you plug in underneath your steering wheel in that communication. So went ahead and did that, plugged it in, cleared the codes, and it's been running perfectly ever since. And I was wondering if you knew any more information on these things. I mean, is it good for the engine or what?
So what's happening there is that you're plugging that little dangle that you bought that communicates with the computer not to run the fuel management circuit or part of the computer system there. And what that is that, as you know, it shuts off four of the cylinders to kind of help with fuel economy when you're at highway speeds. It does affect the fuel economy some. It's probably not as much as we'd want, but it does help a little bit. What happens, though, is with those lifters and such, or that system being controlled on and off, sometimes there's a failed component there, which will cause a particular cylinder not to operate. We do see it on an older, higher mileage vehicle. I'm probably not against the idea of, you know, an inexpensive thing to get you by. You know, I think it's okay. If you have a newer vehicle, which we'll see them, you know, even a few years old, we're starting to see some of those problems. It's probably best to have the repair done. You know, a lower mileage engine, I'm not sure, you know, when it was designed and engineered, it was designed to have that built into it. So I'd hate to take something away from the way it was originally designed. That being said, you mentioned it's an old 07 Suburban, so, you know, it's old enough now, probably have enough miles on it, which is probably not worth a multi-$1,000 repair. So it depends. You know, I'm not against it, but I'm not going to promote it on something that's a newer model vehicle with lower mileage.
Sure. All right. 2016 Honda Accord, texter says, the dealership does not do a flush when they do a coolant drain because there are many small plugs that could pop out. The question is, what are your thoughts on the necessity of a flush?
I'm not sure if there's plugs that will pop out. However, that being said, I do think it's sufficient to do a drain and fill. So it's kind of like the transmission service as they evolved. You know, you find the low point, there's a drain tube. You're going to allow the fluid to run out in its entirety. And then you're going to, you know, put the plug back in or the drain plug back in. Then you have to refill it. The difference with the cooling system is you have to get it up to operating temperature to make sure all those air pockets and bubbles have worked their way through. You get an air pocket in there, and sometimes you have issues with the poor heat quality or even the vehicle overheating. So they're probably not doing a flush in the sense that you recall where you tee into the heater hose. That's long past. Now it's more of a drain and fill operation, which does exchange most of the fluid and is probably sufficient, especially on a newer vehicle.
Okay, very good. Let's grab another phone call, Nick. Joe's calling in from Cottage Grove this morning. Joe, good morning. What is your question, please?
Good morning. I have a 19 F-150, and my right turn signal is flashing fast, indicating that there's a bulb that's failed. And when I check the rear turn signal, the top one flashes, but the bottom one doesn't. On the left side, both of them flash. But the one that doesn't flash, the bulb is working. It just doesn't flash. Can you tell me why that would be?
That's a good question. So, you know, there's not likely a flasher that we used to have, the little thing under the dash of the vehicle that made the clicking noise that caused the bulbs to flash. It's probably controlled by the body control module or something that it's controlling. So I suspect either we have a wiring feed problem. The bulb might be working, but maybe the filament might be shorted out so it doesn't see that current flow happening. So the easiest thing to do is replace the bulb. It's a couple dollars. If you're capable of doing that yourself, try that. That might likely fix it. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole that there's some big wiring problem if we don't have to. So put a bulb in it. If that doesn't work, you probably need to bring it in. They're going to kind of check the circuit out to see if there's a short somewhere that's misleading or misfeeding the circuit.
I'm looking at a text, Nick, about, you know, you and I talk about oil changes and when to get the oil changed and checking if you have a dipstick and all that. But this one, some cars, I think I even had one, will show a percentage of oil left, the oil life. Texter wants to know, what is the recommended oil life percentage, when to get that oil changed?
You know, those percentages are a good guideline. You know, I would say it depends because I feel the way they design, you know, it doesn't see the oil. It's not actually testing the oil. What it does know is the time. It does know your driving habits, highway speed, city speed, stop and go. The, you know, you got to think what, you know, the car's going around with you. The computer has all these inputs, so it has an idea. It's making a recommendation based on that idea. Like we've said for a long time, I feel that a lot of the manufacturers, a lot of those indicators probably go too long. We see too many oil-related problems, especially as cars age. So I would honestly, you know, figure out how many miles you drive in a year. If it's 12,000 miles on a newer vehicle, which is likely synthetic, I'm going to tell you to do every 5,000 miles, which is every 5 months. So that would be the guide that I would use. You can kind of gauge your, you know, you had your oil change done. You have the same drive cycle. Your life's pretty much the same like all of ours. And you notice that at a certain percentage, it's been 5 months. You kind of use that as your gauge. You know, it's not a perfect science, but the last thing I want is for people to go too long on an oil change, which happens, unfortunately, too often. But I would say 5,000, if that's 5 months or 6 months, just kind of gauge it for yourself and kind of build off of that.
Okay, very good. Let us take a break for that forecast on this Labor Day weekend. We have a few minutes to go on the show. 651-461-9226. From Newstalk 830, this is WCCO. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. Denny Long here with ASE Certified Technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, have a few minutes to go on the show, and of course, we've got a lot of callers and texters. See how many folks we can help out before we plumb run out of time. Barbara calling in, I believe, from St. Paul this morning. Hi, Barbara. What is your question?
Hi. Good morning, Danny and Nick. We enjoy your show in the morning.
Thank you.
I have a question. A friend of mine has a 2016 Ford Fusion. and it makes a loud clunking noise. It's drivable, but it makes a very loud clunking noise in the rear of the car. Her husband said it's the back windshield. In all the years that I have been driving, I have never heard of a windshield or a back window making a clunking noise like that.
You know, Barbara, I would agree with you. I don't think I have either. But if the clunking noise is enough to have several conversations, they should probably have it brought in someplace to have to take a look. You know, my assumption would be something with the suspension in the rear that's worn, causing that movement which is making the noise. So I would tell your friend, next time it's in for service, have him take a look at that to make sure it's not something becoming loose or worn.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, Barbara. Thank you. Phyllis calling in this morning from Mustard Prairie, Wisconsin. Hi, Phyllis. Thanks for waiting. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a 2021 Toyota Highlander Hybrid, and it was doing a thing where the brakes, when you applied them, as it slowed down, the car would lunge forward and then stop. So I took it into the dealer, and they said it was an upgrade necessary on the software. They did that. It stopped doing it for about a month, and now it's starting to do it again. If it's not the software, do you have any idea what this might be?
I still think it's something to do with the hybrid system that's lurching, you know, as it's engaging, disengaging there. It's too firm, you know, it's not a slow process like it should be. So I would probably get back in contact with them, say, hey, this worked for a while, but this is happening again. What else could it be? Like I said, it's something with the way the hybrid system works. You're slowing the vehicle down, the regenerative braking, you know, the motor, it's, you know, charging that battery. So something with that isn't as smooth as it should be. I don't think you're going to get stuck or stranded. It's probably an annoyance for sure. So I would say next time you're in, I would bring that back up and have them take another look.
Let's see here. 2022 Subaru Outback. Texture's wondering why it makes a vibrating or humming noise when the engine is off after being turned off for hours. Is something resetting itself? The sound seems to come from the rear of the engine.
Well, something for hours seems too much. As you know, Denny, sometimes when vehicles, they're hot, especially last week before, you shut them off. The cooling fan, the electric water pumps might circulate to kind of finish cooling that system down or cooling the engine down. But if it's something going for hours, I think that's probably too long. Usually I would say 15, 20 minutes would be acceptable. So I would probably have that looked at. If something's making noise, that could be draining on the battery, too, keep in mind. So if it's going on overnight, you might find out you have two problems in the morning where you have this noise and a dead battery. So I would probably not ignore that one.
All right. Let's see. 2005 Honda Pilot, the TPMS indicator came on, but it does not show a tire being low. Is this most likely a sensor in the tire? And if so, can I swap out a sensor without any special tools?
It could be a sensor. What we would do at the shop is actually ping all four wheels and figure out if all four, it'll kind of give us a battery status, if it's low or if it's fine, a status if it's reading or not, a pressure rating. So there's a little investigating. And unfortunately, no, there's not an easy way to replace them because this, most often the sensor's part of the stem. It's located inside the tire and wheel, so you need the tooling and equipment to remove the tire from the wheel. So you'll have to take it to a shop to have that process done.
I guess this next one, you could check the manual, but and we were talking about spark plugs earlier. This car, Texter says, has 108,000 miles on it. The plugs have never been changed. Should I keep going?
Well, like you said, check the manual, the age. You know, I mean, if it's, you know, 10 years old, I would say yes, they need to be removed because, once again, we worry about them being worn out and creating maybe a misfire, but also need to be worried about them getting stuck in the cylinder head themselves. So there's two things that we're trying to balance here. If your car is 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you're probably fine. You get over 10 years old and those spark plugs are still the same ones, they might be due to be looked at.
Finally, and we get this from time to time, is it wise to get an extended warranty on a new vehicle today?
I think you know the answer to that one, too. Maybe.
If it makes you sleep better at night.
Absolutely. And most often, things aren't always as presented by the salesperson. Read the fine print. We have, I've been doing this, forever, it seems like now. And there's some good ones, and there's some bad ones, like everything. So if it gives you peace of mind, Yes. Do you should
read
you,
the fine print?
Yeah, read the fine print. It's a tough answer.
Yeah, it is. Well, Nick, we'll put the test to you again next week if you're so willing. So, but in the meantime, if folks want some help at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. As you know, by phone, 651-228-1316. And if you're out for a stroll on Grand Avenue, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand. And then finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. Let's talk next week, Nick.
Sounds like a plan.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Ted Farrell next with his wine chat here on Newstalk 830 WCCO.